Four men, masters in their fields, coming together to pontificate on science and technology. These great men, dedicated to truth, honor, and justice in the American way, are the Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 96. And with me today is Paul.
Hi there.
And we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy
Merry
Holidays.
Merry Christmas!
And and a Happy New Year. It's all coming rather quick this year because we lost that extra week between Christmas and Thanksgiving. So I'm behind. But I wanted to do a quick show before Christmas. This will be our last show for 2013. Episode 97 next month will be our first show of 2014, and we're only four shows away from hitting our centennial show and hit the big 100.
That's a lot of shows.
It is, particularly since we've been doing this for a lot of years, and I know there's a lot of other podcasters who've gone out and done 100 shows, but we will have done 100 shows, give or take losing a few months per year once a month. Unfortunately, because of holiday constraints, James and Adam can't be here, but we're going to forge ahead. And we have three things we want to talk about today. I think the most exciting news for my son will be that the new Mac Pro came out today. It's available. They took down the Apple Store early this morning, and it's available. They are pricey, but they are beautiful. And if I had an extra $3,000 laying around, I would have one for Christmas. I would. My son even goes, if we just buy one and you create an account on it for me, that would be cool, Dad.
What are the big differences?
Well, I think it's a dramatic.
That's a great word.
Hey, I'm like Cy Robertson today. Yeah. scientistic.
Yeah.
No.
Cy-isms.
Yeah. A dramatic change in the concept of workstation hardware, and I think Apple did it right. The old way with the old Mac Pros with the huge towers that take up a lot of space, and the way Dell does it and HP does it, I think is probably the wrong way going forward. You still have expandable processor capability. You still have expandable memory capability. I mean, it's pretty incredible, the 64 gigabytes of RAM you can put in this new Mac Pro that's, you know, 14 inches tall.
Is this the cylinder?
Yeah.
So it's out now, the one that's in the cylinder.
Yeah.
Oh,
but God. It has six Thunderbolt ports on it. Thunderbolt ports.
Wow.
And USB 3. And they decided that, hey, we're going to put a small SSD in it to run the OS and to boot from. But we're going to make all the expansion external, which is what most people were doing with the Mac Pros and stuff anyway. They were, they were putting additional SCSI cards or fiber channel cards in them and putting external arrays. Fiber channel arrays, when you're dealing with, video post-production and pre-production and stuff, and you still have that capability today, except now your PCIe adapter for fiber channel is going to be plug into a Thunderbolt port. Why not have the, being able to buy the arrays? Dromo makes some great arrays that you can stick and they can do all that work and infinitely expandable in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool because it's lower, just like when Apple lowered the cost of Final Cut Pro and that whole suite, now they're lowering the workstation cost. You know, because now the peripherals for my workstation don't cost nearly as much as they did in the past, which is mainly where you spend the majority of your money when you're talking about, a workstation type suite. Mm-hmm. And the processor options are awesome. The default processor is a 6-core processor.
Wow.
Or I guess it's a 4-core processor. And then you can go 6-core, 8-core, or 12-core.
Jeez.
You know, I'm impressed. I want to go play with one in an Apple store. I'm sure they're not out. We're probably a month away from the Apple stores actually having them set up and replacing the Mac Pros that are currently there.
You can order them
today? You can order one today.
And what's their 3K? Huh?
It's $2,999 for the 4-core box with 12 gig of RAM and 256 SSD.
Wow.
And you can get up to a terabyte SSD in it.
Ooh. Didn't they kind of redesign the how the thing, how cooling works and so forth, too?
It's supposed to be much quieter.
Yeah, which, smaller, you know, and like, fan in it.
Well, like music production and movie production, you want as little noise as possible. So that you can keep that noise out of the actual recordings and things. So
we'll see how it works. It's just radical redesign.
It is. And what will be interesting to see is if anybody copies them. Mm-hmm. You know? Which I bet we're going to see. We're going to see workstation class machines from other vendors come down and not be these monolithic towers anymore.
One of Apple's biggest criticisms lately has been the lack of innovation.
Yeah.
They just keep, lately they've just been enhancing what they have.
Well, at some degree, you know, that's where they're at. Or I mean, you have an existing product line, you're going to enhance. There's always an evolutionary period. But they're, you know, even in Apple's, you know, if we go all the way back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when they started releasing the blue and white Power Mac G3s, and, you know, those were towers, but they were towers that were made so radically different from everybody else. They were easy to service because the door actually flipped down and you had a you know, latch that you pulled on.
Yeah.
And the motherboard stood right there and it was separate from the hard drive so that you could get your hands in there to upgrade the peripherals.
Those ones had the handles on them, right?
Yes.
On the end that flared up.
You know, and that was a big thing. Same thing with the Mac Pro when they went to the aluminum case. There was still even though the side slid off, there was definitely enough room to work on the machine, perform upgrades. You know, you get into some of these boxes that you buy from Dell and other people, and or even your homegrown systems, and you know, you're busting your knuckles against the drive cages and everything else, trying to get it all put together and working right. And you know, I think one of the things that's happened in the computing industry, largely due to the movement to laptops. And the fact that SSDs are now kind of the standard in every laptop, regardless of who the vendor is, thanks Apple, because you started it, is that, you know, you're buying these machines, and you're going to buy them kind of fully loaded, and you're not going to be spending a whole lot of time putting internals into them. And what they, and you know what that was based upon? That was actually based upon research, because all these people complained back in the day. Everybody remembers e-machines. People were buying e-machines at Walmart for a couple $100. You know, you got a decent machine that Christmas, and you spend another couple $100 the next Christmas. Mm-hmm. We won't go into the whole electronic waste thing. But people were not upgrading these machines. You know, yeah. They weren't going out and buying RAM to make them better, and they weren't going out and buying bigger hard drives to make them better. The majority of people, it was like less than 3% of the people, and most of those people who were doing that kind of stuff and building homegrown systems are gamers. Because they won't have, you know, right. These massive machines that run games all the time. Well, you know, in the professional marketplace, Apple started in the laptops, and I think they're taking, and then they moved it to the, even the iMac became sort of this way, and they moved it to, you know, their consumer desktops, which were the Mac Minis. Well, now they're moving it to the professional line because it makes a whole lot of sense. You know, yeah, we're going to, in the case of the Mac Pro and the Mac Mini and the iMac, yeah, I can upgrade RAM, but how many times am I going to go in there and upgrade the boot drive? Because I can plug in a super fast PCIe Thunderbolt drive,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that additional storage and expansion. And by the way, hey, when a new Mac Pro comes out, I don't throw that array away because I put it in that box, or I have to pull it out because I need to put it in the new one. Look, I unplug a cable, put the new machine down, and plug that new cable in, and we're back up and running.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very pleased with the way it goes, whether I'll ever own a Mac Pro. I haven't owned one yet. Because I'm a laptop junkie, and my next Mac purchase will be the new Retina Display MacBook Pro with more memory, because I never have enough memory. But
you can never have enough memory.
No. Wait, how many tabs did you say I had open on my...
Oh, yeah, you're running.
I probably have 60 or 70 tabs open right now in Safari.
How much RAM do you have on that?
I only have 8 gig, because that's the max on this one. The new one, you can go to 16, which is what my other MacBook Pro that got stolen had in it, the 15-inch Retina Display. But I've come to love the 13-inch. It's just, it's the right size and right weight. And
yeah, that's a good size. I like that. I do like where the 13 falls.
And everything, so.
11's a little too small for me.
I like the 11, but you know, I noticed when I would work on
spreadsheets
and you know, word processing documents where I was doing proposals and particularly Visio diagrams or graphics files where I had to open up Pixelmator or Visio or in this case OmniGraffle Pro and create these things, I didn't have enough screen real estate to do it. Now, that being said, even with a 13-inch, I have two 24-inch cinema displays at home that plug into the Thunderbolt ports on this thing. So at home, I have 48 inches of screen that I work on, you know. But
that's nice. My dream was to always have a 27-inch cinema display. What do those go for these days anyway?
I don't know. I paid $1,000 originally for my first one.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I still have a 24-inch, which they haven't made in a couple years because they, you know, the cost of the monitors are high, but they last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, because we want to keep this quick since everybody's rushing around for the holidays, I wanted to talk about Phil Robertson because I love the show Duck Dynasty. And I think it's what I find is so highly hypocritical is A&E wants to censor Phil Robertson for using freedom of speech. Now, television does not have freedom of speech. Regardless of what everybody thinks, the law actually does not cover television. It only covers the internet and print because the internet is considered print or digital media. So Phil Robertson, in an interview with GQ, talks about his belief in God and how he believes that men and women go together. And I've actually read the interview. It was not offensive. He wasn't calling anybody names. He was talking about his beliefs. And he even made some funny anecdotes, you know, that's typical of Phil Robertson, about it. Yet A&E is suspending him from Duck Dynasty because, hey, we want, you know, we don't want to hurt a demographic. So, you know, and I hate to say this, but how many gay, lesbian, bisexuals do you think are watching Duck Dynasty anyway? Because they go to church every day, they shoot guns, they talk about their belief in God, and, you know, and I hate to say this, but that's not usually a community who does a whole lot of that. And the great part of this is most of my listeners are not, or I doubt I have any listeners who are gay and lesbian, so I can say all this, and I'll never hear anything about it.
I can guarantee you one thing. If you didn't, you probably won't.
But, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. He's not being vicious or vindictive about it. He's not saying, you know, throw them all in a prison camp and let them rot in hell. He's just talking about what he believes. And I think it's totally hypocritical for A&E to suspend him for speaking his mind when it is his right to speak his mind. And it wasn't done on their show. You know? My personal opinion is, and I've actually thought about writing an email to the Robertson family, is saying, hey, look, you guys need to dump A&E. You guys have so much momentum today, and will have momentum. You know, Duck Commander does not need A&E for any reason whatsoever. And
well, Duck, those guys don't even need a TV show at this point.
No,
their dynasty is huge.
Yeah. Now.
With all the things they sell. I mean,
well, the thing
they
is,
don't have to do another hour of work for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
You know, but I obviously, you know, you just can't give your opinion like that in this day and age. Everybody's so freaking politically correct now that they've blown this thing way out of proportion. And I read the interview too. And personally, I have the same belief he does. I really do. I feel exactly the same way he does.
Absolutely.
And he just spoke his mind, you know, which a lot of people are afraid to do these days because of this reason. Because it gets blown out of proportion. And now they're going to ruin the show. They're going to ruin the Duck Dynasty, which we all love to watch. And it was fun. And one of the great parts of it was is that Phil spoke his mind. That's what people love.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I love the guy, man. He's tells it like it is. Well, and I thought it was great. Well, track a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really great. Was I coming back on the plane the other night? I was reading an article in the USA Today that said that Barbara Walters scheduled an interview with the Robinson family. They interviewed the Duck Dynasty crew and Phil blew him off because he wanted to go duck hunting. I was like, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
If there's one person I cannot stand, it's Barbara Walters. Absolutely cannot stand her. And I'm sure Phil felt the same way and probably didn't even go duck hunting. Probably just said, hell with it. I'm not going to go talk to her.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, for me, I really believe since Duck Dynasty has actually been one show that saved A&E, who's had dismal ratings, because of their great shows like Dog the Bounty Hunter and... You know, here's the kicker part, is A&E used to be...
It's the number one show on cable TV.
Yeah, it is the number one show on cable TV.
Next to Walking Dead. Walking Dead's too.
And, you know, as far as I believe is, if there, I think A&E is going to end up backing down because it's their money
maker. Oh, they're going to lose. Do you know how much money they stand to lose?
Well, yeah. Shoot. Well, just think about the sponsorships, too.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, AMC would take them.
Oh, AMC. Yeah. I actually think ABC would take them because there's nothing offensive about their show. You know, put them on primetime. All of a sudden, you get people like Bass Pro Shops and Field & Stream and all these these outdoor companies
Holy who cow. Spend
tons of money wanting to spend...
Have you seen the latest Dick's commercial?
Yeah.
Willie Robinson's in that with a bunch of professional athletes. They market him like a professional athlete.
Well, my favorite thing is so I went into... We have this upscale mall around us called The Green. It's kind of like Reston Town Center. It's actually made by the same architects who built Reston Town Center in Reston, Virginia. And similar outdoor, you know, mall communities. And I was there because we have a bookstore that called Books & Company, which is a local bookstore that was bought out by Books A Million. But it's huge. And they had a lot of Doctor Who stuff, and my youngest is a huge Doctor Who fan. And right next to the Doctor Who stuff was a whole table of Duck Commander products.
I've seen
and that. I'm not just talking about, you know, the little bobbleheads and stickers and, you know, and size cup, which, by the way, I have one. They were actually selling Duck Commander duck calls. They had the triple threat. They had two single read calls. And they're selling them in the store. Okay? This isn't a place. Now, I live out in the country, and we do things like hunting and shooting guns and stuff, so I identify with the Robertson family. But you're talking about a place in the middle of suburbia, and they're selling this stuff, and they wouldn't be selling it if they weren't making a profit on it.
Chris, Phil Robinson had a book on the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, yeah.
That alone probably made him millions of dollars.
But, you know, come on. Let's be realistic about this, America. You know, the idea of freedom of speech is that not everything you're going to hear is something you agree with or you want to hear. And today, liberalism in the media has decided that, well, freedom of speech means you can't say anything because you don't want to offend somebody. I think we need to offend a lot more people.
You know, I just wonder what the TV show's even done to that family. He's probably ready to back out of that spotlight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it would be very enjoyable at this point. Those people are they're showing up at everything.
Yeah,
they're some of the most recognizable people in the country now, and these were duck call makers out of Monroe, Louisiana, that have just exploded. Phil's probably what 70-some years old now, 75.
I don't know if he's that old.
He's over 70. I think he's about the same age as my dad, if I remember right. Maybe a little younger. He's probably glad. He's probably, if he can get out of the spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, the whole point of this political correctness just kills me. It really does. It's the censorship that we have to live with now, or you're ruined.
Yeah.
If you speak your mind, it's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, next topic. Let's move on to something that's not happy, happy, happy.
Let's bring the next horse in.
So, if you've been reading the news, and if you haven't, you better. If you've shopped at Target between November 27th and today, your debit or credit card information could have been compromised. Target had a 40 million card number breach. And that included personal information like dates of birth, your full name, your secret code on the back of your card, the three-digit code, and if you used it as a debit card, including your PIN number. And from the data that they believe was stolen, all of those cards can be cloned. So they want everybody to be vigilant and looking at your statements for stuff that may not be there. Great, this happens at Christmas.
Any idea how it happened?
They have not released any. All they said was that it's been corrected, so feel safe shopping with us. And it did not affect any online customers. It was only customers in stores. It had something to do with the hackers were able to get into the network with the point-of-sale machines. So they were pulling the data right off the point-of-sale machines as they were taking the transactions.
Unbelievable.
So, but there's something else more. You know, these data breaches happen, and I think we're going to see them happen more frequently going forward.
Sorry about that.
But
it's more than my reps.
The bigger issue, I believe, is whether to use your card as a debit card or a credit card if you have a, you know, bank-issued debit card. And you are not protected if you use it as a debit card and put your PIN in. It's your responsibility to report any fraud or anything. And that, you know, when you use it as a debit card, the bank is automatically deposits that or takes that money out and deposits it in the account for whatever vendor you're using. Whereas with a credit, if you use it as a credit card, you are protected by the credit card companies, the processing company. Most retailers do not want you to use it as a credit card, although I never use it as a debit card. I'm lucky to know my PIN number because I don't go to the ATM either. But, you know, the credit card processing companies do monitor all credit card transactions, and they will insure you if something like this happens, because there's a buffer between the payment when it goes through the credit card company and when it's withdrawn from your bank account. So it's just something, always use it as a credit card. Do not use it ever as a debit card, where you have to put your PIN in, because you're much more likely to be caught in a fraud tactic than if not. But I just find it, you know, in this day and age, it seems to me, and I'm sure there'll be a class action lawsuit on this, but it's negligence on Target's part. If it was a network security flaw and it had to do anything with not upgrading things correctly, or running, you know, the proper software to determine if there's malware, viruses, whatever, which is kind of what it sounds like, because they don't want to talk about it. I also think, you know, it's really incumbent upon the banks today, if you want to stay being a bank, and protecting your account users, because, you know, in these fraud cases, it ruins people's credit. And part of that, in reality, is we need to get rid of the whole credit score system, because you can't control the fraud. You know, if you want to live in today's society, you have to use a card. You have to spend money. There are a lot of places today where you cannot take cash. They will not accept cash for transactions. I'm not saying like Target doesn't. They certainly take cash. But there are a lot of places today, like if you want to rent a car, they won't take cash. You want to pay for an airline ticket? Most airlines won't take cash today. Part of it is they're not set up at the airports or any place where you would pay to be able to handle large amounts of cash. Mm-hmm. So just beware. And and anything we've said today, please send us your thoughts, whether it's an audio mail, a video mail, or a good old text email. And send those to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. Or visit our blog at www.gizmosapiens.com. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll see you not only on the digital flip side, but the annual flip side.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody. Thank you.
Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's GIZMOSAPIENS @gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.